America's Next Civil War, an update. This is the third video on this topic that I've made. The other two are in the description below. You can look down there and click on them to watch them in their entirety, which I recommend because in both cases, I interviewed an author who had written books on the subject, and both of these are exceptionally well detailed, resourced, and they actually come at the problem from two very different directions, but they both land on the same thing, that we are in what one calls a revolutionary period that's just waiting for a spark, and the other one says that we are in a civil war type environment that also is just waiting on a spark. And unfortunately, the facts and the evidence keep building up that we are getting closer and closer to that day. Now, of course, when you say civil war, I know the first thing that occurs to many people is that's just hyperbole. And part of me can understand that because there is so much hyperbole, especially on some social media, and people just make all these outlandish claims and, you know, wild accusations because they want to get headlines and they want to get clicks and all that. I understand that. So some frustration is certainly in order, and some skepticism. I totally understand that. But if you've watched our channel for any amount of time, you know that I focus everything we do on what is true and what is the ground truth and what does the evidence say. And we try to cut through a lot of the hyperbole, but we also don't shy away from things that are important and in raising alarms. And that's why I'm making this video here today, because even since I've made the other two videos, some conditions are continuing to deteriorate in ways that should get all of our attention. Now, nothing is predetermined. Nothing is ordained. At every point, we can turn away from this. We can take actions to cool the jets, to lower the tensions, and to become sober and to recognize the dangers and to see where things are going amiss and to say, all right, we need to make some adjustments here. That is the spirit with which I'm making this video and all subsequent updates it will do going forward. I fear that there probably will be more updates, and who knows, it'll even be more frequent as they come up. And every time I see something that's happening that you need to know about that can alert you to this danger, I'm going to bring it to you. And that's the case for today. There is additional information out just in the last few days that shows that something is going more and more wrong, and too few people are paying attention to it, recognizing it. First of all, I'm going to start off with a report in the New York Times, a poll that was done. I think this one was on October the 2nd is when this one was published here. The headline, "Most voters think America's divisions cannot be overcome," the poll says. And this, listen, this is a bit of a problem here. And this really shows you this starts on, let's see, I believe this is in September 2020. So this is before, I believe that's in September. So once the pandemic started, I wish they had gone a little bit further to the left here, even before the pandemic had all started. Maybe in January 2020 would have been a better day, but that's unfortunately when they made their questions and when they did the polling, so they just don't have anything further. But you see, even at that time, still a majority of people were saying to the answers of the question, do you think that America's political system is too politically divided to solve the nation's problem? That's the operative question. And on this day, 51% of the people said no, that it's not. The political system can still answer the question. But then you saw that as the pandemic continued going on, those things continued to go down. Now then it crossed over here. And this is probably somewhere around the January 6th, 2020, 2021 period. So that's probably where this was. It kind of crossed over here into the negative territory. And now fewer people believe that the nation is too politically divided to solve their problems. And then the number of people who do believe it's that much began to rise up. And now when Joe Biden was inaugurated, it actually continued to deteriorate. The number went down. And then for a short period of time, and I'm not sure why, on October 2022, there was a slight decrease in the negative number and an increase in the positive. But then that also started going down. And you see that it continued going down until this last one was taken. And it was taken, September 22 through 27. So it was just a little over a week ago. That's where the numbers are now. 64%. say that the nation is too politically divided to solve our nation's problems. That tells you that the trust that Americans have in our political system is continues to deteriorate. And when you don't believe that the government system itself, and this there's so many things that go into this, and it would take quite a long time and a number of systems to go into all the reasons, all the things that were happening around these times. But you have issues, especially now. This was taken about 10 days after the Charlie Kirk assassination, so that's kind of on people's mind. It's in light of all the things that have happened with the Trump administration and a lot of the really vitriolic kinds of disparities between the Republicans and the Democrats, between the conservatives and liberals, and the demonizing of each one. This has been going on for a long time, but it's continuing to get worse. And both political parties want to do what they can to demonize the other. That's been one of the biggest problems. In fact, I go so far as to say that our political system and the two-party system is now broken. It is now incapable of it. The system itself, and the numbers are showing it, and the people recognizing it. Now, that's bad as far as it goes, because that tells you 64%, that's a significant majority of people who say that it's too polarized, it's too dysfunctional to solve our country's problems, because that's telling you that whatever the problems that we have, whether that's immigration, whether it's border security, whether it's economy, whether it's the jobs numbers, any of those kinds of things, international affairs, potential wars that may be fought out there, the security environment, whether it's in the Middle East or possibly in China or in the European area with the Russia-Ukraine war, the tariff issues, that all these things together, we just see American people are saying, this is just not going to work. The system just won't get it done. Now, if we stopped right there, that would be alarming. But we're not going to stop right there, because as it turned out, one day before this, there was another poll that was released by a completely separate group here who said this poll, more Americans agree political violence may be necessary to right the country. This is why that previous number is so alarming and should trouble everybody. So 64% of the people don't believe that our current political system is capable of solving your problems. And now you see an increasing number. And this is only over the last 18 months. This one was also done. It was conducted after the Charlie Kirk assassination. So the political violence has continued on. You might have even thought that might drop it down, but unfortunately, it's had the opposite effect. And you'll see every demographic here. This is in the last 18 months, it's gone from 20% of the people who say that Americans may have to resort to political violence. And the exact question asked was, Americans may have to resort to violence in order to get the country back on track. That is the operative question and directly ties to the previous question. So you think that the country is off track. You think that the system can't fix it. And now then you see a growing number of Americans say that we may have to resort to violence to get it back on track. What that tails into kind of a circular situation that we don't have confidence in the system even, meaning that heretofore in most of my adult lifetime, you would if you didn't like the policies, you would think, all right, well, we'll get them at the next election. We'll put forth better policies, better candidates. We'll campaign better, more effectively. We'll work harder, and then we'll come up with something, and then we'll show those other guys that we have a better plan, and we'll outcompete them, etc. Now then you see that people, instead of just saying we'll get them at the next election, you see that more people are saying maybe violence is the right way. Now, we don't know for sure in these numbers how many of those people are actually saying, yeah, and I would do some of that violence. But the problem is that the fact that they're contemplating it is pretty important. And you see the number here. This is probably not surprising here among the Democrats, because since the time that Joe Biden has left office and President Trump has come in, he has just almost doubled down on what he did his first term, which is to demonize the left and calls them radical liberals. You know, he uses that term all the time in too many contexts. You're going to see it again here in a minute. But when they see that their own party, and by the way, the Democratic Party has historic low levels of approval among Democrats. It is extremely low right now because they also don't think that their own party can fix this. And that is your danger point. when liberals and Democrats think my political party is so bad that they can't fix this and the system itself is so bad that it doesn't provide answers, then you see this big jump, huge jump from 12 to 28% in just 18 months that now they're saying, well, maybe something else can fix it. Maybe violence can. And even though the number of these people that would actually engage in it is small, the fact that these people are contemplating means that that small minority that may use violence will have fertile ground to try to pull people in their direction. And we even saw a bit of this on display with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, where there were plenty of people that were cheering it on. You know, those who were politically against Charlie Kirk went overboard, many of them did, and actually celebrated it, which infuriated the other side, of course. And as you can see down here, there's plenty of people on the Republican side that are also thinking the same way. And in fact, a higher number of Republicans think this. And even though the Republican number was already higher when Trump took over, you see, even that number has gone up. So you see, Americans may have to resort to violence to get the country back on track. If the fact that it's 31% now with a Republican president in office, that's even more alarming, because things like this that happened with this Charlie Kirk thing was just like a canary in the coal mine. It just shows you where the anxiety levels are. And the Democrats are seeing that the normal tools of power and path for democracy seem to be less and less effective. And so now then they're looking to take more and more actions here. And that's just in the polling here. Now, when you further take a look, and let me pull this back up here. When you take a look at what else President Trump is doing domestically, we talk most of the time on this channel about the international affairs, the potential conflicts that are going, or the conflicts that are going on around, the potential that the U.S. could get dragged into something in the Middle East or in the Russia-Ukraine war, or even in a lower threshold right now in the Asia Pacific, always the potential for war between China and the United States over Taiwan. That doesn't get as much notice right now because so much time is focused over here. But that's not the only things that are going on militarily. There's also things domestically. And yeah, one of the things that President Trump has been doing lately is talking about sending troops into American cities. Now, he renamed the Department of Defense to the Department of War. And you see, this came out shortly after he announced that, to where he, you know, the Apocalypse Now movie, the Vietnam War movie. You see, President Trump put himself in that role and put this out there. Love the smell of deportations in the morning. Chicago's about to find out why it's called the Department of War. Imagery means a lot. In the environment that I've just shown you with those two previous polls, when people who are afraid and they are liberals and they see President Trump talking, I'm going to send into this, quote, liberal city, and you see military helicopters, you see fire and smoke behind it, you see an explicit warning, you're going to find out why it's called the Department of War, then you see that is going to just add more anxiety and more concern to the people and to the liberals especially. That's bad enough, but it got a little bit worse because earlier this week, when President Trump addressed all of the commanding generals and their staff at Quantico, Virginia, when the Secretary of War had called them in there, he told them something that I think that we have to look at very, very soberly. And honestly, especially if you're on the right, if you're on the conservative side and you're a big supporter of Trump, fair enough. No problem with that. People get to make their political choices. But we have to understand there are sometimes bigger issues at part than just my political party. It's my country. And when things are going in a direction which demonize one part of our own populace, and there's a threat that that power could be used against them, not because of law and order issues, but because of their political persuasion, then the alarm bells need to go off higher. Now, if you think I'm exaggerating that, let's take a look at what President Trump actually said.
The Democrats run most of the cities that are in bad shape. We have many cities in great shape, too, by the way. I want you to know that. But it seems that the ones that are run by the radical left Democrats, what they've done to San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, they're very unsafe places, and we're going to straighten them out one by one. And this is going to be a major part for some of the people in this room. That's a war, too. It's a war from within.
It's a war from within, he said. And he expressly connected in that one short soundbite there. He started off by saying, the radical liberals, the radical liberals. And then he said, it's a war from within. And we're going to clean those cities up, he said. And you saw that imagery. I mean, this is already what he said. This is what he means when he talks about that, when he's talking about those cities. This is what he has in mind. And when you play that over on top of a population that is opposed to him politically, and you see him talking in such terrible terms. And by the way, in the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk assassination, President Trump said he's going after all these radical left groups. Used the same phrase, said we're going to go after them. And you saw Stephen Miller go much further with that, who's the deputy chief of staff for President Trump. He said that we are going to go after these. We're going to declare like Antifa a terrorist organization. We're going to dismantle them and destroy them all. The exact same language that was used for Al-Qaeda now being used about an alleged group in the United States. And this is before we have even an investigation had been done. We still to this day don't know exactly who was behind the assassination of Charlie Kirk. We have a suspect in custody here, but there is a lot of trouble with the evidence that we've been shown, and it is far from clear who was actually behind this murder. And yet, these people aren't waiting at all to find out. They're automatically declaring that it was some vast liberal network, this terrorist network by name. They use that. It's not me putting words into Stephen Miller's mouth, and that they're going to dismantle and destroy this thing. And then you see Trump say those things, those words. That came after Stephen Miller's been talking about this. So we have to be very, very sober-minded here and understand there is a lot at risk here. And even if you're a huge supporter of President Trump, you've got to be at least open-minded to say, hey, something's not right here. Because if we get to the point to where we demonize half of our population and literally start using military to go into those areas there, especially if you start getting close to election time, so far, it's been mainly rhetoric. And even here in D.C., where some of the military's already been used, and in L.A., where it had been used before, it was limited. And I think the mandate is probably coming up. I don't know how much longer they're going to stay here, but it's not going to be forever. They're not going to make it a permanent military state. And that is what we need to be careful of, and we must avoid at all costs. If you start making the U.S. a militant state, And you have armed guys in military uniforms with weapons at the ready all over the major cities of our country, that's not making us safer. That's not going to make law-abiding citizens feel good about it. It's going to make them afraid. They're going to be wondering, why do we have to have armed militant people in uniform on my street corner? I can assure you, I've talked to a number of my friends and family who have seen this military deployment. You've probably seen images of them yourself, but I've talked to people who have actually been on the ground there and seen it. I haven't gone so far myself. But they said it doesn't make them feel better. It makes them feel queasy and uncomfortable. Why does American cities need to have patrols? And like what I did and what I saw in Iraq and Afghanistan, I was part of these presence patrols, we called them, where we would go through Iraq cities, we would go through Afghan cities and villages, you know, to show the people that we're there to try and protect them. They never felt protected. I can promise you that. And it was a sore spot for them all. I'll never forget. I actually took a lot of photographs and made a video of one of the cities that I was on a patrol that we went through. And you saw fear on all the faces of the people. We were there to allegedly to protect them from the Taliban, but they didn't feel safe. They felt uncomfortable. And anytime you start using force like that, folks, if anybody has this fantasy that putting a bunch of uniformed military personnel in major cities around the country is going to make all the bad guys just stop being bad, I got news for you. It's going to have the opposite effect, because so far we haven't had it. It's kind of new and people are trying to figure it out. But once people start getting comfortable with it, you're going to have a potential for clashes, lethal clashes between our citizens and members of the military. And then a lot of things can go down from that side there. And I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. The military, according to Secretary of War Pete Hegseth at that same speech right before President Trump spoke, said, listen, our primary objective here and our mission is to kill people and break stuff. That's what we're trained for. I myself was over 20 years in active service for combat deployments. I can validate that Even when it was called Department of Defense, that was our focus. That's what they have an army for. It's always been that way. We are trained to kill and destroy, to close with and destroy enemy forces. That's what we're trained for. You don't want that kind of activity on police forces. Police forces are supposed to de-escalate the situation. They're supposed to solve the problem with the lowest possible violence to keep a safe and secure area so people can feel safe going down the street. That's what they're supposed to do. And we have a problem with crime on this in our country. There's no question about that. And it's going to take a lot of resources and it's going to take a lot of effort to fix that. But you've got to get at what are actually the core causes of the rising crime, not just throw a bunch of uniformed militant people out there and think that's going to solve it, because that's a simplistic thing that almost certainly will not work. And it shows, quite frankly, a lack of vision on or even understanding of why these problems are existing. We need to get that back under control. Don't make this a militant state here. And listen, we are in a dangerous place when you have a combination of people feeling like the government and the system are no longer capable of solving our problems. An increase in the comments coming from people that they're willing to use violence. And just imagine that. I would wager that number's higher, because a lot of people who are being asked by that by some pollster are probably going to be a little reluctant to say, yeah, I would use violence, I would think. I would imagine that that's the case. So I suspect that number's higher. But when you have that, and then you have on top of that, you have a current environment to where you are using military force and now threatening to send it into cities all over the country, and you are expressly demonizing a whole political class of people and connecting that with what you allege is some legal issues and crime issues. You set up the potential to where that force could be misused. Now, you start getting that closer to an election time, it's not out of the question that those forces could be used to intimidate voters when it comes time to vote. Or, God forbid, if the election doesn't go the way that the president seems to think it should, he may say the election wasn't fair, it was rigged, and now then we're going to use the military to put down any protests, because there would be a lot of protests. I mean, just imagine the 2026 midterms come up. If the election comes out and the Democrats take it, which almost always happens in cases like this, where you have one party with the White House, the Senate, and the House, it's usually the case that the party in the House ends up losing the House. The party in the White House loses the election and loses seats in the next midterm election. It usually happens, not even frequently, but usually. So it wouldn't be out of ordinary. But you can see a case to where certain people would be accusing the system of being rigged and it was a fake. And we actually, someone cheated. And so now we're going to use the military to set things right and to make sure that our side stays in power. Now, right now, even many Republicans would say, that's not going to happen. I mean, President Trump's not going to do anything like that. When you have these conditions set up, when you have the power. Now, just imagine even further, if some on the left, because of all these pressures, they actually do use violence some, and they make good on that. Well, then you can see that the power in the government is going to really squash that and spread, set it down. And that's what the government is supposed to do. They're supposed to reestablish peace and security. But you can see it would be all too tempting to overcompensate for that and do more than just restore peace and security, but to suppress. And then that could itself spawn more violence. And that is why I told you at the beginning why this is titled America's Next Civil War. That's how you get into a civil war. Now, all of a sudden, those numbers where people don't have confidence in the government skyrocket. Those people who are willing to use violence to fix it skyrocket. And that is like all you need to have a civil war. And we're not talking, you know, the Union and the Confederacy, the North and the South. I mean, this is like every man for himself, neighborhood against neighborhood, city against city, even within the state. It's complete chaos. It would gut our country. It would be catastrophic. Nobody would win from this. Let me be crystal clear here. Anybody who thinks they're on, you know, because President Trump is on the side and the Republicans have the levers of power, whether that's the Justice Department or whether it's the actual military itself, and we can just impose this stuff, it ain't going to happen like that. Once violence starts getting used, and then the trust in the government just goes through the floor, and the willingness to use violence against it goes through the roof, everything becomes possible then. Everything bad, and almost nothing good can happen. We have to avoid getting to that point, folks. And this is the time. These are the times before we get to those crisis points. These are the times when we need to start saying, let's be a little bit sober-minded here, and let's cool the jets on some of this talk, on some of this rhetoric and demonizing part of our population. Let's get back to using the military for what they're supposed to be, which is national defense and keeping our country safe, and using the police and the law enforcement to do their job properly that de-escalates the situation and increases the chance for people to have safe lives. And we need to do what we can now to start rebuilding trust in the governing system, no matter who's in charge, whether it's a Democrat in the White House, a Republican in the White House, or it's same thing in the Senate and House. We've got to fix our system so that people have confidence in it no matter what it is. And then the only thing they want to do when they don't like some policy is they just say, we'll get them back in the next election. That's what we need to do, folks. So I'm right now, it's just another warning, but we're going to keep following this. And this evidence, if it continues to deteriorate, we're going to let you know there. And if we need to raise the level of our warnings, we're going to do that. But you deserve to know the truth where it is right now. And you are armed with this information here. I hope you can take whatever action you can within your own sphere of influence to cool the jets on this talk and to recognize that we're going down a bad place right now. And the trends are not good, but they're not irreversible either. With concerted effort, we can be part of a solution to keep this from ever getting to that point. Thank you very much, folks. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode.